Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The Burt Show.
This guy that's cruising down in San Diego claims that his accelerator gets stuck, and he's cruising at 90 miles an hour, man. He's on the phone with 911, and they're trying to talk him into somehow, some way, slowing this car down. Mm-hmm. A couple of people called up, think this story is total BS, though.
Yeah, because it's his. Now we know his name is 61-year-old James Sykes, and yeah, he said that he actually was part of that recall of his Toyota Prius, and that the dealership actually turned him away when he went.
He said that he tried everything, like he tried reaching down the accelerator and pulling it back up, and that didn't work. Hey, Joe. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Yeah, morning, Bert. Yeah, I'm calling total BS on this one. Just what you said there. He went to get it fixed, and they turned him away. He probably got all, you know, they went and serviced his car, so he decided to make some news on it. You know, it's a Toyota Prius, it's an 18-wheeler. You know, if your accelerator's stuck, jam the brakes. You know, turn the ignition off. The car will stop, you know, even if you're on a highway. I think everyone these days is looking for a quick buck. Like the chick with the Roethlisberger thing, we could go after Toyota, get a couple $1 million out of it. Yeah, we'll speed down the highway. It got stuck.
I don't know if you can put a sexual assault case and a defaulty car in the same category.
I'm not saying that he's not guilty. I think Ben's an idiot, personally. But, you know, what I'm saying is people are targets these days, big time. I work for a big corporation. The vans I drive every day, we're a target every day because of the economy.
I do, you know, agree that the culture is
cause accidents
so happy
and whatnot. I think this guy was looking for a quick buck from Toyota, figured, hey, you know, it's in the news. Who's not going to believe me at this point? You know, all the cars are suspect.
But how do you get paid if nothing happens?
Well, and also, I mean, and not to comment necessarily on this one case, but if you could easily just jam the brake and turn the accelerator off, wouldn't the people have done that?
He couldn't.
Right.
The police officer said afterwards that there's a way that you hit the emergency brake, and you got to do a couple of things at the exact same time to get the car to slow down enough to get the key out of the ignition.
But what I'm saying is not his case. The previous Toyota, you know, all the people that died in these wrecks that has brought this to light for Toyota, I mean, if it was as easy as slamming the brakes and turning the ignition off, I'm sure they tried that.
Because we've become such a sue-happy society, we've also become a very cynical society, so it's
skeptical.
Very difficult to figure out what's real and what's not anymore, you know? Hey, Mark, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Hey,
thank you.
I got to tell you, I'm glad I'm not the only person waving a giant BS flag on this guy.
Okay.
I've been in law enforcement 11 years, and my detector is pretty well in tuned, and I'm just waiting for the charges on this guy to show up.
What is different about him than the other people who've been Toyota victims, for lack of a better term?
Well, I don't necessarily think that people who have been victims are wrong or making things up. This guy here is upset Toyota wouldn't fix his car. The Prius recall was a brake problem, not an accelerator problem.
Mm-hmm.
And every car in the United States is designed with the transmission that you can bump it to neutral in case it stalls or an intersection, bump to neutral, restart it, put it back in drive, and go. Every car is designed by that. That's a NHTSA thing. So any car you've got, you can bump it into neutral. Now, whether he doesn't do that or not is on him. But I think the guy, bottom line, went to Toyota. Toyota turned him away on the brake problem. He says, all right, fine, forget you. I'm going to do what I got to do, put myself on TV. One foot on the gas, one foot on the brake. Please help me. I ain't buying it.
But I don't know if I believe this guy or don't believe this guy, but the statements that you just step on the brake or bump it into neutral, like there have been, I think this whole Toyota thing came to light when there's a pretty frightening 911 call from a family and I think they're in a Lexus.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah,
a Toyota,
the Lexus, and they died.
What originally started, and the guy was calling 911 saying, my car won't slow down. The brakes aren't responding because if you floor it, even if you step on the brakes and the accelerator's still down, you'll eventually just wear those brakes down and keep moving. And this guy on the phone went into an intersection with his whole family in his car and got what is called T-boned, and they all died. And he's not faking it. Like, I'm sure he tried to step on the brakes.
That's what I was saying.
Hold on a sec, because here's Steve, and he's a mechanic. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how y'all today?
Okay,
good.
Man.
a lot of, I don't know if I believe the guy or not. I'm not going to judge him, but I do know that a state trooper in that position, you know, he said they got over 100 miles an hour at one point, and he certainly isn't exaggerating. But if you go to turn off the ignition on a car nowadays, you're going to lose power steering, you're going to lose power brakes, and it's not like it used to be where you didn't have power steering. You literally lose the steering on the car, so that's not a safe option. Mm-hmm. And you might be able to put it in neutral, but that's really not a good idea either, because people panic in those situations.
Mm-hmm. I would.
I think once I play this, I think once I play the 911 call for you guys, it'll feel more authentic to some of those people that don't believe it, because it sure sounded like he was not in a panic, but was very scared for his life.
Now, I do agree with the trooper that, yeah, the Prius was a brake problem, not an acceleration problem. The acceleration problem was another model, so he is correct in that. But I do feel uncomfortable with it. I mean, there's a reason why this Toyota incident and Toyota itself is under investigation, because these were serious incidences, and these were not, like, right. I'm not going to blame the driver because their car started going 100 miles an hour and they didn't shove it into neutral. I'm sure they tried. You know what I'm saying? Like, so people died in this, so, and I'm not going to blame them for their own deaths, you know?
I'm going to play that 911 call for you guys here in a little bit, and you can have a better, I think you'd be able to make a better judgment if the dude is acting or not, because I don't think he's acting.
The Burt Show.
So, I am having an issue with my parents, who are older and therefore stubborner.
Stubborner?
Than normal age person.
You're more stubborner than they're stubborner.
Imagine how stubborn I am, and then add 5 decades to that.
You're frustrated right. by somebody else's
stubbornness? Yes.
Wow.
Last year, they like to go out to Las Vegas, and last year they went out to Las Vegas, and the...
That's right. Your parents are gamblers.
Yeah. They go and like they normally go to the Indian casino that's near the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, and it's. I think I've told you this. Like, they'll go seriously with $60, and then call to report a $20 swing either way.
Really?
Like,
is your mom like the nickel slots woman that's there all day, same slot machine over and over and over again?
It's weird because they don't. There's no like significant passion about it. Like, there's no 12-hour marathons or anything. It seriously is a way to kill 3 hours or 4 hours. So she'll play one penny slot, nickel slot, quarter slot for 15 minutes, then they'll wander over to the buffet, and they'll sit down and have a drink, then they'll wander back over, my dad will play blackjack, then they'll walk. So, it's just, that's what they do. They've been
married how long now?
300 years.
Yeah, that's what you do.
And
you
they
just
like
figure out
cool,
different
though.
Ways
but
to kill
both,
time together.
They both like going, and they go together. I think it's cool.
So they decide, they have started going to Las Vegas once or twice a year to mix it up, you know, because then it's not just the Indian casino, it's a whole... You know, it's like a playground.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mile of different places for them to walk to. And last trip, their flight home got screwed up, and it was jacked up because I was on the phone with my dad, and they're not big travelers. You know, like they're good getting to the airport, getting on the plane, and coming back. But when there's like a customer service issue, like they don't exercise their passenger rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if the guy says, I'm sorry, we can't get you on the next flight. You can't fly out until 3 days from now at 2:30 in the afternoon. And here's a $5 coupon for Burger King. They're like, oh, thank you for the coupon. And then because they think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
They just get walked on.
Yeah. So that kind of happened last time. And I was like, you know what, that's screwed up. And I ended up calling. And it was a big ordeal. And I wrote a letter to the airline. It wasn't Delta. And the airline ended up writing my parents back and saying, we're sorry for the inconvenience. Received a letter from your son. He told us what happened. Here's $150 for each of you to use on your next flight.
Nice.
So I'm like, oh, that's cool. Here's the problem. For whatever reason, that airline now to fly from Syracuse to Las Vegas is miles in a way more expensive than any other airline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but like they can fly from Syracuse to Las Vegas, like on Delta, for example, for I think like $300 or $350. This airline is like $500.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do a whole package deal, it's less expensive for them to fly on Delta and just tear up those vouchers and just pretend they never existed. Mm-hmm. It's free money, right? Mm-hmm. Those vouchers. They refuse to do that. They are
and that's making you angry.
They have to use the vouchers.
They have a coupon in their hand and they must use it. And they can't. I can't make them process. I can't find a way for it to stick to their brain that they don't like. Like I said,
but those were hard earned. Maybe does it have anything to do with the fact that you went to so much effort for those?
I've told. I told them.
To get to them that I wonder if part of them feels like, well, you know, these, you had to go through a lot of trouble.
They're showing
to get
you some respect.
This. Yeah.
Which I've said don't use the voucher because, well, you know, my dad's good on the computer, but like, you know, as far as like comparing flights on different, like a Kayak versus an Orbitz versus the airline site directly, and then, you know, the package deals that you can get, you know, Vegas hotels, you go to any one of their websites and you can get airfare and a hotel, usually at a pretty decent discount. So, you know, I'm online and I'm making sure. And so we're, you know, on the phone or on Skype and like both looking up different flights and stuff. And I've said to him, look, you can stay at the Mirage and fly out on Delta, and the whole thing is going to cost you $500 less, even if you use the vouchers on U.S. Airways.
I got the vouchers, man.
Yeah, and he's like, well, we got to find something on U.S. Airways. We've got the vouchers, and they expire on May 8th. And I'm like, well, you don't have to use them. It's found money. Like, and I tried to explain. Like,
but they're going to expire, Jeffrey. Got to use it.
Digging in for the sake of digging in.
And this is also a generation that doesn't believe in wasting. That's wasting a good voucher, yes.
Then, as Jessica pointed out, there was one time that we went back to Syracuse, and we went to a restaurant, and as we sat down to the restaurant, my dad apologized because he knew both the service and the food was not going to be good. But they got a $25 gift card for buying a recliner at some furniture store, and it expired in 2 weeks. So as we're sitting down, my dad says,
just want to let you know you're not going to enjoy it.
That's what he said.
It's not going to be very good.
But he had...
That's awesome. I've got a coupon.
He had the coupon. So we went down and we used a $25 coupon. It was probably, you know, four people, an $80 meal, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he spent an extra... $75, say, with gratuity for bad service. He spent an extra $75 in order to use the $25 coupon for a meal that, as he predicted, was not that good.
Now, can he use the U.S. Airways voucher on a different flight? So can he fly
to
Atlanta and save the cash that way?
I have proposed that because U.S. Airways has a direct flight to Charlotte. So I propose that he comes to Charlotte, and then Jessica and I could go pick him up in Charlotte. You know, a couple hours up the road.
Sure.
And then, like, hang out in Charlotte for the day, then bring him down to Atlanta for a long weekend. Then maybe he can even go to Vegas from Atlanta, you know.
Still save money.
And stay at our house, you know, and then boom, and then whatever. But then he still uses the voucher. He gets to see us, and his exact words were, well, but we got the vouchers for the flight to Vegas.
Oh, no. Seriously, just can't crack
and
out of that.
The flight to Charlotte could potentially be free. Like, it's $149 sometimes. And it's a $150 voucher, so he could come to Atlanta.
That's not the plan, Jeffrey.
If you send him this break and he's on the outside listening in to us talk about him, would it make any sense?
No, because we're speaking right now Korean.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
All right, let's hear what Carter has here. Central Carroll High School.
In Carrollton, Georgia.
Carrollton, Georgia has made the offer to one Melissa Carter. Melissa Carter had a dream!
That's right.
And her dream was to go and actually just see the Rose Bowl parade.
Correct, yeah. That my mother and I, and if you're a big Rose Bowl fan, or even if you're a big gardener, the Rose Bowl parade is different than any other parade because every single thing in the Rose Bowl parade is organic. So every float you see has to be made out of organic material. So it is just so fascinating, and HGTV does the best coverage of it. So if you're a big gardener, you should watch the Rose Bowl parade on New Year's Day. But my mother and I, it's tradition that every year we do that. So I mentioned on air, I said, I've never been to the Rose Bowl, never seen it live. One day I would love to see it live. And I said this on air. And then the kind folks at Central Carroll High School said to me that they were going to be in the Rose Bowl parade for 2011. They are one of just like, what, a dozen or so high school bands across the country that applied and was accepted into the Rose Bowl parade. And
hundreds applied and only 12 were accepted.
Correct.
That's huge.
And so they are representing Georgia in the Rose Bowl parade.
So. Alex
letting
Trebek
you.
Correct.
That is correct. And so they have invited me to be part of the band. But one of the things was, look, but we want to assign you the instrument. We want to be able to let you know the instrument, and that way you can learn to play it this year. And then we can highlight you in some performances and some fundraisers because, of course, the kids have to raise money for their trip to the Rose Bowl Parade. And so yesterday they came in and they let me know that it was the trombone that they wanted me to play. Okay? And I've never once played the trombone, never picked it up. I've seen it. Now, I will say that one of my best friends growing up, we were college roommates, She played trombone in high school and for the University of Tennessee Pride of the Southland marching band. So it could have been osmosis that I watched her perform, and I have the gift. Okay?
I said this yesterday, but I'll say it again today, that I am really surprised that, because I thought maybe as an honorary band member, they'd give you something really easy to play, something sort of, I don't know, a throwaway, you know, like the triangle. Ding!
Right.
The cowbell.
Cowbell. Something where you couldn't mess up. The trombone is like major in the band.
A tough one.
They have more faith in me than the people here in this room that I've
spent. I think you're going to be fine eventually. I'm just really surprised that they gave you such a major instrument.
It's a challenge. This year, I do have to learn how to play the trombone. And I want to give a special thanks to Ken Stanton Music, because they did not laugh at me out loud when I explained to them what was going on yesterday. Now, Ron over at Ken Stanton Music in Marietta was kind enough to loan me this morning. And
did he tell you how to even... Do you even know how to hold it? Do you know how to
put
it together?
Don't worry about that.
Well, first she's got to...
Why are you worrying about the small... Even, you got to look at the big picture, Jen.
I would not even know how to hold a trombone.
Hey, Wendy, will you hold this for a second?
In what hand?
I'm guessing you can figure it out a lot quicker than Melissa can.
And will you hold this, Wendy, for a second? There's parts to a trombone. Hold on.
I wouldn't even know how to put this together.
No. And I have to say that I walked in this morning. Now, everybody's been to high school. I hope. I mean, in Georgia. And everybody is...
That's no assumption here.
Yeah, sorry. And the hallways, you've seen people with the big black, you know, cases. Like, it's pretty funny. The trombone case does look like a Tommy gun case from the old gangster movies. But
Tommy gun.
So I walked in this morning with my case. Now, I played sax... Well, I tried to play saxophone in junior high school, middle school now, and wasn't too good at it. But it did remind me... Here, Wendy, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Pieces, parts. I have to figure out how to put this together. Don't worry about it, okay? Just don't worry about how I'm putting this together. Never put a trombone together. So, but yeah, I tried to play in middle school the saxophone, but I just brought back memories of carrying that case. If you ever play, Wendy was in the band, right?
Mm-hmm, I was in the band.
You were?
Yeah.
What'd you play?
I played the flute.
Did you?
I'm calling myself out.
Well, your case wasn't too heavy, though.
No, it was like a little mini briefcase.
Every girl plays flute or clarinet, don't they?
Indeed.
Except for some.
Yeah,
who...
I don't know
especially
how to hold...
at band camp.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. God, I loved when that movie
what
came out.
What in the world?
It looks cool, Melissa.
Look, man, this is major, dude. I'm
telling
you.
Hey, I put it together. Look at that.
I don't
know how to hold it, though.
I don't think that's right, is it?
What's wrong with it?
No, that's right.
Is that how I
hold
it?
Is?
Yeah.
Yep, right.
All right, let's all be silent while Melissa Carter gives us her very first sample.
It doesn't seem right.
Well, it's right for now.
Well, that slider thing is supposed to be like this, isn't it?
I don't know, but I'm going to get a noise out of this.
I'll turn it to the side.
Like that?
There
you go.
Is that it?
You're holding it wrong.
It?
And that goes on your shoulder.
Yes.
This like this?
Yes.
Right. Oh, wait. Okay.
Intern
Brandon.
Showing so like Melissa Carter a picture.
What is he on YouTube right now like showing
a
her a video?
How to hold up a trombone.
All right, try it.
I'm sorry. This is not video, so you can't see what I'm doing. Okay. Are you ready?
Do your thing, girl.
Woo!
This is our starting point right here.
My first ever trombone note.
All right, here we go.
You're going to hit the mic.
Yay!
There it is. So that's our starting point right there.
Wow.
Excuse you.
She's turning red.
Wait, hold on.
She's going
woo!
Out.
That
out
wore me out a little bit. I don't know how long is the Rose Bowl route? It's like, that's
like
9 miles.
It's like 9 miles.
My
it's from Pasadena down to the Mexican border.
Yeah, my lips feel a little funny. But yeah, there you go. I got a noise out of it.
Okay.
So that's the beginning of my career as a tromboner.
Player.
Hey, Kelly, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Oh, hey. Melissa, that was great.
No,
was it? No, you liar.
You're going to lie to us?
We're not going
to
believe anything you say now, just so you know.
Well, I just want to let you guys know, I actually got to go 1 year because my brother played in the Rose Bowl.
Oh, cool.
And it was... so cool because we, I don't know if you'll get to, but we got to go up and actually touch, well, we're not supposed to touch them, but we got to go up and like be next to the floats and see the different materials they used and everything. And let me tell you, it is so different from what you see on TV, from what you actually see in person. And it's amazing.
I mean, like what she's saying, and maybe for some who may not understand, like imagine a float in a parade. Well, in every color has to be, like, for instance, yellow in a parade. You know, like if you've got a face in yellow, they have to take like mustard seed and spread it to create the color. They cannot use paint. They cannot use anything other than plant material. So it's cool. It's just so artistic and creative, and so that's one of the reasons I love it. And so I look. Thank you, Central Carol, for letting me be close enough to the floats to be able to see it for myself. Right, January.
Give us one more note before we go into the entertainment booth.
Yeah. Hey, the Bird Show. Hey, the Bird Show.
I know y'all probably don't want to talk about this again, but last night when I turned on the news, there was a 7-year-old in Atlanta last night who, it was just really ironic, that got attacked by 2 pits yesterday.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's in critical condition right now at the hospital. So I just wanted to make sure. I mean, that lady yesterday who said that pits aren't aggressive towards people are absolutely wrong. Her pits might not be, but that's not all pits, because obviously, there's a girl in critical condition right now because of 2 pits that attacked her last night.
Were those pit bulls? Because I got a bunch of emails and tweets and stuff, and on Facebook they were saying pit bulls, and then I looked up the story and I didn't think it was a pit bull.
Yeah, there's some.
When I had turned it on, and there was a story as soon as I turned it on, and it, like, after about 10 seconds, it said it was 2 pits. And my mom was in the kitchen, and she even said, "What kind of dogs were that?" And I said, "Pit." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I wish I could call the Bird Show right now," because it was so ironic that y'all were talking about that, and then it happened.
Mm-hmm. They actually weren't pit bulls. I think there was some initial thought that they were pit bulls, but they were Staffordshire Terriers, which is it seems like a dog that would bring you tea.
Yeah, right.
but what was interesting or ironic about the conversations that we've had over the past 2 days was that this was one of several dog attacks in the past couple weeks on Atlantans. So they went to a doctor, and this doctor, I almost thought it might have been the same doctor that Melissa was having dinner with the other night, who gave the statistic that the majority of severe dog bite injuries come from pit bulls, because this doctor said the same exact statistic. So,
and it's about them clamping down and not letting go, right?
And just and being more violent attackers.
Yeah, let's go through this just one more time, and then let's be done with it. Because we got, again, so many emails yesterday.
You guys are
angry,
exhausted.
I mean, because it's a ridiculous argument. I mean, these angry pit bull owners that were emailing
and
us
breeders.
Yesterday, and breeders that just won't. I mean, look at the statistics.
Here's what I've learned. Pit bull owners are human aggressive.
Yeah, it's true. It is, when you say exhausting, it's fascinating how, I mean, obviously it touched a nerve, because the emails that we received were just personal and angry and offended. But talking about what we just said, it was actually a pediatric nurse that was at my home that talked about the statistic of the worst injuries she's ever seen are from pit bulls. And one of the pit bull breeders called her a dip. S-word nurse.
Wow.
And did personal attacks on her for her opinion. And then also a Bird Show listener wrote that Melissa stated that people like Michael Vick are hurting the breed's reputation. However, it is also untrue comments by people on a highly listened to morning show that hurt and perpetuate untruths about the breed. Melissa stated that people who get pits get them for guard dogs. Pits by breed are not good guard dogs and are not, as a breed, human aggressive. While Melissa stated that the Michael Vicks of the world are what is helping add to the reputation, it is also people who don't do their research on the breed and make untrue statements. By the way, their jaws do not lock. No dog's jaws lock. I'm wondering if you are aware of all 49 of the pits rescued from Michael Vick's fighting ring. Only one was euthanized because of human aggression. In reality, Michael Vick actually shined a spotlight on how great these dogs can actually be. And then another person talked about how loving and affectionate the pit bulls are, and that they are not human aggressive. And they said that that was the consistent theme through all the pit bull owners and all the pit bull breeders, because I made the statement that people who get pit bulls want them as guard dogs, and that seemed to offend so many people and told me I was an idiot.
Well, initially you didn't say you want them as guard dogs. You said wanted them to be perceived as aggressive dogs.
For guard dogs.
I mean, what you're getting into.
Yes, you want them to protect you, and I still stand by my statement that if a person is going into a situation in which they're like, you know what, am I going to get a toy poodle or am I going to get a pit bull? I don't usually think that that's what comes in the same breath.
This is an article in the AJC this morning.
AJC! Flawed.
You can go and read it yourself, and it's not written
AJC.
It's not written by Melissa Carter, and it's not written by Bert Weiss. But the title, it says, the lead is "No Place for Pit Bulls, Rottweilers Around Children." Tuesday morning, 2 pit bulls chased an elderly Marietta woman in an apartment complex. The woman sustained minor injuries. The dogs were later caught, and the owner was cited. The death of a five-day-old Rockdale newborn by the family's pit bull heightens the need for people to use extreme caution with having certain dog breeds near children. Says there's no place for pit bulls or Rottweilers around children. This comes from Mark Wolkin. He's a doctor at Emory. Actually, he's a children's healthcare surgeon.
What does he know? Surgeon.
And an associate professor at Emory.
Unless your name's Gupta, you got no credibility with me.
Or Oz. As far as children are concerned, this is right from the AJC. Wolkin said pit bulls and Rottweilers in particular are responsible for the most severe injuries. With German Shepherds, they bite you and then that's it, he said. Pit bulls and Rottweilers, once they go for the kill, which is what Melissa's nurse friend was saying the other day.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Clifton study, this is not a Melissa Carter or Burt Weiss study.
Nope.
Pit bulls, Rottweilers, and Presa Canarios and their mixes are responsible for 74% of attacks and 68% of the attacks upon children.
And now Bert, again, is reading from an article that is in today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution that has nothing to do with the random conversation that started, and I'm annoyed by this, and I'm not even involved in it, it started when Bert made a comment that they should put someone from the city at the dog park at Piedmont
to monitor it, right?
And he, as an aside, said, I saw two pit bulls get in a fight or something like that. And the fact that these pit bull owners cannot acknowledge that breed as a whole, whether or not it's how it's raised or whatever, that breed statistically and whatever the word is, that anecdotally, you know, where it's just whatever, it's more violent.
I think if
your dog is great, I'll acknowledge you have the most beautiful, peaceful. I love your pit bull. That's great. Cute. That's so nice. But it's still an aggressive breed. You have to acknowledge that.
They won't.
It's bizarre.
From a standpoint where I have been in dog parks before, that if you didn't know anything about dogs at all, somebody puts you on the earth, okay, and you're 22 years old and they put you at a dog park and you had to observe all the dogs. You didn't know anything. You didn't know what a pit bull was. You didn't know what a German Shepherd or a poodle was or a bulldog or a golden lab. And you just watched what was going on. You would be able to look at the pit bulls and go, that dog's got kind of a crappy attitude right there.
Oh, yeah.
He's sort of looking for a fight right there.
And my biggest problem, and the past 2 days, the thing that has just elevated my irritation is the fact that personal attacks in these emails by pit bull breeders in particular, that if you really want to help the public relations of the breed, if you want to help your sales as a breeder of the breed, then I think the tactic should have been different. Like, I don't understand why you decide that by you being aggressive, by defending an
Don't be human aggressive when you're telling me your dog's not human aggressive.
Yes, the breeders are human aggressive, but they're claiming that the dogs they breed are not. Well, I'm starting to see a correlation.
All right, let's just take one call on this, and now we're done with pit bull talk.
And I'm not going to answer any more emails about it.
And I'm not going to answer any more emails.
I got it.
You got your opinion. We have ours.
Got it.
Over it. Y'all are exhausted.
If you read the comments, I put the article up on Facebook so Bert and Melissa could see it. People start attacking me.
You're nasty, man.
Yeah,
stop being aggressive, saying that your dog is not aggressive.
Hey, Jamie, I know you raise pit bulls. Can you wrap up your point in 30 seconds?
Absolutely.
Do it.
It is how they are raised. I got raised pit bulls. They won't even bite you to get a biscuit out of your hand. And if you'll check, Chihuahuas failed more personality tests than a pit bull. They just don't have the strength or the oomph to follow through with what their aggression is.
So as a pit bull breeder, can you acknowledge that a pit bull is a more aggressive animal than a Chihuahua?
No. Temper-wise, no.
But would you put?
A Chihuahua has a worse temper than a pit bull.
But a pit bull has the strength.
You know, or in the drive or whatever to follow through with it.
Would you put a child
on how they are raised?
Would you put a child in front of a Chihuahua or a pit bull first?
Would I?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A pit bull.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
She just contradicted
that's
herself.
That's a drop in the bucket of what we have received for 48 hours that are paragraphs long.
You would put a pit bull in front of a kid more so than a Chihuahua.
That's just like Melissa said. That's just a sample of what we've had to go through the last 2 days.
One person said to me and used the word F the haters. She said, I got my pit bull because I wanted protection and I wanted a guard dog.
One person
in 48 hours.
The Bert Show. Get it? The Bert Show.
So we've got a couple of skeptics. Earlier this morning, we were talking about this dude in the Prius. Everybody knows the story by now, right? Guy going 90 miles an hour down the road, can't stop, right?
Mm-hmm. In San Diego, a 61-year-old man who was trying to pass another car. His car accelerated to over 90 miles an hour. And a cop, actually, he called 911, and then a cop came and got in front of him and slowly slowed down to help him stop safely. But he says, you know, today we learned that he claimed that he was part of the recall, even though Prius was a brake recall. But he went to the dealership, and the dealership turned him down and turned him away.
A couple guys called in this morning, and they said they didn't believe the story. They think this is a guy that went to Toyota. They turned him away, so he's trying to get some notoriety for himself. But if you listen to this 911 call, and this is, we've edited it down. It's only a part. It's only a minute and 23 seconds. This is a 23-minute call to 911.
Wow.
While they're trying to get this guy over on the side of the road. So here it is. And look, if he's faking it, the dude should have won the Academy
he's
Award
better
on
than
Sunday
that,
night.
That Heaney guy? He's a better actor than the guy than the weather balloon dad?
I think I think so.
Hello, this is 911. Do you have an emergency?
My car, I can't slow it down.
You can't slow it down?
Oh.
Where are you?
I'm a car.
Where are you? Sir, I need to know where you are.
Highway 80.
Eastbound? On Old? Okay, sir. You're eastbound on Old 80. Sir? Sir, you need to talk to me. What kind of car are you in? I heard a Toyota. What color is it?
Blue.
Blue?
Yes.
What kind of Toyota? What kind of Toyota?
Prius.
A Prius?
Yeah.
And what's going on? Is your accelerator stuck?
Yeah.
Is there anybody with you, or are you by yourself? Sir? Sir? Sir, is it the floor mat that's stuck on your pedal? Sir? Is there a way you can put the car in neutral, sir?
No.
No? Have you tried to put it in neutral?
I'm trying to control the car.
All right, so keep in mind, this dude's going 90 miles an hour. He's got one hand on his cell, and with the other hand, obviously, he's trying to control the car.
And I don't think. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I don't think I'm buying the acting job as much as you are.
Really, ma'am?
Really?
I don't know.
I think he sounds panicked.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. I would be the same way.
Yeah, going 90 miles an hour is one thing to go down a stretch of highway where nobody else is on going 90 miles an hour.
But, if you're having
but he's having to avoid other people.
Well, so I've seen you go 90 miles an hour down Peachtree.
My choice is a whole different matter.
So we'll have that audio up on our website, Q100Atlanta.com, and we'll link over to the entire 23-minute piece news link if you want to listen to it later on. But I don't know, man. It sounds pretty authentic to me.
Well, his breathing especially.
Yeah, I mean,
panicking just the breath. He didn't have to say a word.
Here's another 911 call that went public this morning. And this one's just, I listened to it earlier this morning. It almost made me tear right up. This kid is 7 years old. And this happened at 8:30 in the morning. And it was in Los Angeles. And a couple of guys break in to this kid's home. His parents are still there. They have guns with them. And it's his 6-year-old sister, and the parents are in the home. They break into the house. The 7-year-old runs into the bathroom with his sister, and he places a call to 911. And I'll tell you what happened after the 911 call and how this whole thing wraps up.
911, state your emergency.
There's some call. There's some guy. They're going to kill my mom and dad. Can you come?
What happened? Where are you at?
California.
Okay, what's your name, sweetie? What's your name?
Carlos.
Carlos?
Yeah.
How old are you, Carlos?
Good.
How old are you?
Can you come really fast? Please,
okay, tell me what happened.
They come. They ring the door, and they have guns. They shoot my mom and dad.
Right now?
Yeah. Can you come really fast? Bring some cops.
Okay, listen to me. I have them coming.
None of them.
Listen to me. I have them coming, hon. Listen, okay? Listen to me. Take a deep breath. I already have the police coming.
I'm ready.
Listen, hon. How old are you?
Soldiers.
7 years old.
Okay, 7. Listen to me. Where are you at in the house?
Inside
you're in the bathroom? Who's yes. with you?
It's my sister.
How old is she?
6 years old. Can you come really fast? Hurry up.
Yes, stay on the line with me. Don't oh. hang up. Listen to me. We're coming to help you, but listen to me, okay?
Okay.
When you were in the house, tell me exactly what happened, okay? Just stay where you are and don't hang up, whatever you okay. do.
Okay. They bring the guys, they have a...
Oh, no.
Hey, we need to get to the dad. We have a home invasion. And he's saying that they shot the mom and the dad, and the 7-year-old was screaming 911 in the phone. Yes, but they just broke into the bathroom and took the kids.
So they found the kid.
Oh. In the bathroom.
In the bathroom. Ooh. With the cell phone in his hands, okay? Mm-hmm. So what you don't hear there is the suspects ask the seven-year-old who he's on the phone with, and he says 911. They immediately turn around and they leave the house. Nobody got injured, and they didn't take anything.
Wow.
They fled the scene.
Wow. I think that kid was faking it just like the Prius guy was. I don't think that was real. I think he just wanted attention.
I mean, bless his little heart. And then him talking about bring cops and bring soldiers.
The soldiers.
And, oh, breaks your heart, right?
Yes.
Everybody fine. No problems.
No. Wow. Oh, my. Just gave me chills. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking this morning, I've got a 7-year-old. The panic that they're going through when they're with that bathroom door is closed and your mind's going nuts thinking, what's happening to my parents right now?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody got hurt. Nothing taken out of the house.
That had to hit you pretty hard because Hayden's 7.
He's 7 years old. Same thing, yeah.
You're on The Burt Show.